Your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 6, where we've been looking. And if you want prep, we're going to jump to Matthew 18 in a little bit. But in prepping for this, I'm sure you've met someone before that as you meet them, simply by their mannerism, their ways of speech, whether it's their words or how they carry their conversation, maybe by their character, you can automatically see their parents in them. You can sometimes make out who their parents is, and this normally happens because of the amount of time and respect they have for their parents, for that specific parent even. The intimacy they had as a family and the things that that parent took time to teach and instill in them. One thing a parent cannot say is, I never taught them that, or I taught them better than that. Because you may have in word, but did you in example? You know, when I used to referee basketball, and I did it for many years, starting with little kids, went up to the older kids, and then became a trainer. Somewhere in between, I remember a specific game that was fifth grade boys. And there was one boy that fouled out in the first quarter. He was good. He was my type of player. And he fouled out. I had warned and told him, would you pause the game and talk to him, because they're young kids, but he fouled out. And immediately he starts screaming and cussing and throwing the basketballs and the practice balls that are on the side and just having this big fit. The coach didn't know what to do because he was a young man, and this kid had no control over himself, and I had to toss him from the gym and have his parents take him out. But I knew at that point it was not over. The thing is, when I had to tell this kid, he was done, sure enough. Across the court comes his father. You know what he was doing? Screaming and cussing, and grabbed the game ball, and he's throwing it. The kid was a perfect reflection of his daddy and what he had learned, and the attitude, and the character. Just so you know, the daddy was about half my size, so it was more laughter than anything, but other parents, after the game, showed appreciation. They came to me and said, thank you, because no one would take a stand against him. I'm like, wonder why. But then I also remember kids in those years of refereeing that after the game, win or lose, they would always come and shake my hand and say, thank you. They were the same kids that knew the words, yes, sir. And they would listen to explanations. And they accepted calls against them. And then you meet their parents, and they too reflected that parent's attitude and character. You see, as we continue breaking down this simple prayer, this sample prayer that Jesus Christ has given to us, we're going to see him call for us to reflect his character and what he has done. You know, we've seen here that what God, Jesus calls for is fresh prayers from our heart. We're not a repetition of what someone else has said, just our conversation and enjoyment and intimacy with him. And he wants an intimate time where we're not doing it for show because people are watching and we want to look spiritual, but because we enjoy a relationship with an awesome God. And so let's read together again in Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be on the screen behind you. I'll read the odd numbers if you'll read with me on the evens. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all of us know, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you put your hand on this building, Lord, that we would allow your word to touch our heart, that we would appreciate the opportunity we have to pray, to approach your throne, an opportunity that was given through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross for us, that we'd be excited about the power that you've given to us. And Lord, I ask that if someone in this room that's never placed their faith in you, never called upon your name for salvation, this can be that day. We thank you for loving us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Now again, as we look at this sample prayer, Jesus, in an all-inclusive sample prayer, gives us context. First, remember who you're praying to. Our Father, Abba, who art in heaven. He tells us to remember his awesomeness by hallowed or holy be thy name. Then, desire his rule, thy kingdom come. Tells us also to desire his will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should recognize our dependence on him. Give us this day our daily bread. And deepen your relationship with him and by calling out, forgive us our debts. And today we see a call to reflect the Father. If you remember last week, which I'm sure you've got it all memorized, right? All the points from the sermon last week is memorized. You're good to go. We talked about the first time on calling to God for salvation, for forgiveness of our debt. God then pays for our sin, our debt, by the blood of Jesus, the one who never deserved to die, because he never sins. And when he pays for our sins because of our humility and calling out to him, he adopts us into his family. We become children of God, and at that point, we start to spend more time with him through prayer and through his word. As a believer, understand the importance of that is to be intimate with our Father, God. And you slowly, through this, are conformed to reflect him. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you're going to start looking like him. The more he'll rub off on you, if you will. The more he will transform your life. You with me? The more he'll have our way, his way in us, and we'll talk like him more with grace and love. The words that come out of our mouth will be encouraging and honoring to him. Your actions will be more like him by caring for others. And this is how we arrive to this portion of the sample prayer today in verse 12. Last week we saw, and forgive us our debts. And today's even a harder part. As we forgive our debtors. See, last week we recognized our need of forgiveness. But notice Jesus said, as I forgive. Oh, that's hard. That's tough. You know, notice the forgiveness we should ask for here. Only that forgiveness that we're also willing to give. Again, the reason is that our character should be being transformed as believers to reflect the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Now, this does not mean, you with me? This does not mean to place yourself in danger if that person is a threat to you. Well, I have to forgive him, so I'll put myself back in danger. That's not what it's saying. It does not mean to allow someone to keep taking advantage of you. It does not mean that there is no repercussions or cost for someone's actions. It does mean, however, that we should desire that they see and receive the grace of God just as you and I have. You see, the heart that's affected is mine in doing this. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 18, just another couple more chapters, we see a parable that Jesus gives about the depth of forgiveness as he teaches a parable, which is an earthly example of a spiritual truth. And earlier in chapter 18, we see that the teaching deals with church discipline. How to approach someone that sinned against you. Someone that's living in sin and hurts others. It is divisive. And after that hard teaching, Peter asks what I call the question that you're probably familiar with. In Matthew 18, go down to verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Sounds good to me. Continues here. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wow. See, Peter here asked the question, how many times should I forgive? How many times I forgive my annoying little brother? My sister? Those are worse. Sisters. Sisters. Nobody. Everybody's like stoic, like not showing emotion. My sister might see this video. You know, you've had that person in your life that you just feel like, God, come on, she just pushed my limits. That's just too far. How much do I forgive? Seven times. I mean, Peter thought he was being generous here. Seven times, let's be honest, that's a lot of times. Yeah, you with me? Or are you guys just more spiritual than I am? Seven times is a lot of times. Yeah? And this seems pretty extreme. We like to say that if you're sorry, then stop. But here, the focus is not on a violator's heart, but on our own heart. You with me? I'd rather God work on his heart, because I hate him. And Jesus says, it's the problem. There's the problem. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't tell you seven times, did I? Did I mention seven? No, but Jesus, come on, that's one time a day for a whole week. I can end the day by saying, I forgive you, and we move on. Jesus said, I didn't say seven times, but 70 times seven. See, Jesus is not teaching to make a bunch of marks. Because just to be sure, I pulled out the calculator, and it's 490 times. You with me? Some of y'all didn't need a calculator, did you? I knew it, but I knew that if I said that up here, y'all would catch me in an error. It'd be all over Facebook this afternoon. See, Jesus ain't teaching it to make a mark. Whoop, they hurt my feelings. Heard it again. Oh, they called me a dirty name. Stole my quarter. Oh, 490, boom! Because you know how that is, man. You're building up. I've been a good guy. I'm being nice. Okay, it's time. This one was too far. And Jesus says, no. Jesus is teaching, don't focus on the violations, focus on reconciliation, a bringing back together. Why? This is what Jesus did for us, isn't it? You with me? You remember that our sins, our debts have violated us before a holy God, and that we are separated from a relationship. But the creator of the universe, the one that loved you and created you for his glory and for his own purpose. But sin has separated us. And until we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and accept his payment on the cross, we are separated. But you know, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, what that blood does, listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, God made a way to bring us back, us, his enemies. That's what Scripture says, that while we're in our sins, we're enemies of God. But he found a way to bring his enemies back into a relationship with him by sending Jesus Christ to pay for sins and to bring us and reconcile. And then he said, listen, as I have reconciled you to God, now I give you a ministry, and your ministry is one of reconciliation. To be one body in Christ. To be one people of God. To declare one work of God. And so our forgiveness is a reflection of what God has done for us. See, here in Matthew 18, he continues. And Jesus teaches the importance of forgiveness. First thing he's going to teach us is God's grace and mercy. Look at verse 23. Therefore, a magical word there. What it's there for, you got to read and find out what it's there for. Based on what he's just taught us about forgiveness. He says, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not paid, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You understand when it's saying Lord here, it's using an example of a master, because the word Lord is a reference to master or leader. It's not speaking specifically of Jesus here, but it is a picture of Jesus. And we see here a man, there was a master that was calling for his debt. He said, he owes me a whole lot of money. And he brings him in. This man was far behind. Understand this. This man's debt was unpayable. The amount they said there, I believe, was 10,000 talents. In today's date, is in the millions of dollars if we were to transfer to American money. This man owed in the millions of dollars. And therefore, he and his family would be sold into slavery as they did in that day, the custom of that day, sold into slavery in order to pay off some of the debt. And they would work in slavery to continue bringing money as long as it took. And understand, they would never completely pay it off. So their lives was given into slavery. However, the servant humbled himself. The one that owed so much money, owed these millions of dollars, he humbled himself, crying for mercy. And what did the king do? Forgave him. The master forgave him. He gave him freedom. In other words, mercy and grace is poured out on him. And if you stop and think of what we spoke last week, we owe a debt that God, I'm sorry, we owe a debt to God that we can't pay. The wages of sin is death. We can't afford the greatness of its cost. That's why there's an eternal separation from God for all eternity to those who never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. But see, the holiness of Jesus paid that debt for us. We're pardoned of that debt. All he requires is that you humble yourself and call on him with faith that Jesus Christ can pay that debt. And God will have compassion on us, pardoning us from the blood of Jesus, freeing us from our debt. Isn't that an awesome message? You see, the message in this parable starts out as a great king, or master, if you will, that in compassion and in love, because of the humility of that servant, said, I'll pay your debt for you. I will absorb the cost for you. Now notice, the Lord didn't say, I'm going to redistribute your cost upon the rest of the nation. He said, I will absorb it. It's going to go into himself. Same when God takes your sins, he doesn't distribute it to everybody else. He brought his sins upon himself to the cross. No redistribution. He absorbed it. He paid the cost. And so right there, you should be at peace and excited. You'd think that a believer would be the happiest person in the world. You with me? You think someone that knows Christ should be walking around singing with a smile on his face at all times, knowing how much he's been pardoned. Yeah, some choose to walk around like grumps and complaining, yeah? Everybody just got a smile on their face all of a sudden. But hey, that should drive us nuts, believers that walk around like the sky is falling. The sky ain't falling. God is still in control. And it will always be in control. And I'm on his side because of his good work. And we should be expressing the joy we have in the Lord, being changed because of the love of God. And there's a reason for this. What happens to those that aren't changed? They don't reflect the character of God. Well, let's keep on in this parable. We see the second part is the ungrateful man. The ungrateful man, who doesn't know the joy of the Lord, isn't excited about the work of God. Continuing the parable here in Matthew 18. Go down to verse 28. But The word but with one T means there's about to be a turnaround. There's going to be a drastic change. The first part was exciting and very encouraging. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debts. You catch that? The same man that was just pardoned, he was released, he was made free. He then grabbed someone that owed him a little bit of money. Remember, he was pardoned millions of dollars to make it in our money so we can understand it. He grabbed someone that owed him 100 pence. Now, how long money is that for? 1 pence was 1 day's earnings in that day. The average of 1 day, 1 pence per day's earnings, about 3 months of pay this guy was owed. And he grabbed him by the throat. And his debtor begs for forgiveness, just as he had done. But there's no demonstration of mercy, no grace, no peace, no love. He demanded his debtor be cast into prison. You see, the ungrateful man had forgotten what God has done for him. And in this parable, the ungrateful man had forgotten what the other master had done for him. If you're a believer that can't forgive, it's like forgetting the amount of sin that Jesus Christ washed from us. Forgetting that our violation is greater than anything anybody else could do at you and I. And we can name off some horrible sins, some horrible violations. But you understand that any violation we have is against a holy God, a loving God, a good God that has never sinned or violated against anyone. And yet he said, I'll pay for your sins. See, the ungrateful man forgets what God has done for him. He fails to let God transform him. He fails to let God be seen through him. He does not let the Holy Spirit control him because he desires to still act in his flesh. And so what happens in the flesh? We don't want to forgive. We don't want to reflect God. Usually that's a reflection of not spending much time with him. In his word and in prayer. But understand there's an expectation of the forgiven. There's an expectation for the forgiven. If you have a child of God, you've called upon his name and have placed faith in Jesus Christ or washed through your sins, there's an expectation for you. Look at the expectation here in Matthew 18, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. It's a pretty deep expectation here. It's pretty harsh. Understand, the king expected the servant to be grateful. That means he should pass on the goodness he received. That means he should want to do as was done to him. Now the unforgiving spirit or servant has a new debt. Understand, the first debt had been forgiven, remember? The master forgave me, pardoned him, but now there's a new one. You violated the desire I had for you and to grow and to pass on what I've done for you. So he's going to receive punishment that he wanted to give the other man. Did you catch that? He wanted that man cast into prison. And so the master got him again. And the servant failed to appreciate being forgiven. And now he's going to suffer for it as the master punished him for that act. Now understand, that was not a picture, as some will say, of hell. But it's those suffering because they're not walking in the peace of God. So the tormentors take away our joy that God wants to give to us. But in the last verse, we see the promise. Check out that last verse in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. See, unto you and I, Jesus makes a promise here. Listen, I want you to reflect my forgiveness. I want you to reflect my character, my love, my grace. And he says here that the Father wants you to do also what he's done for you. Otherwise, it'll happen to you what happened to that bad servant. Now understand, it's not a matter of losing salvation. Once God's paid your debts and adopted you as sons, he sealed you in his spirit, he's given you everlasting life. John 3:16, we know that verse. But after salvation, when we don't live in God's will, if we don't grow in God's character, we lose the joy that he gives to us. You with me? That's why you see believers trying to find joy and contentment and fulfillment in the areas the world does rather than in God's word, whether in serving one another, because we walk away from God's desires and we lose the joy of the Lord and we're trying to catch it somewhere else. The only way you can recoup the joy of the Lord is repentance and intimacy and obedience to him. So if we don't change and let him change our heart and our character, we're going to lose his peace. We're going to lose his blessings. And notice verse 34, who was brought in was tormentors, not an executioner, but tormentors. Why couldn't he send executioners? Because this is a picture of children of God. They have everlasting life. They can't be killed. But tormentors can come in and take away the joy, take away the peace. And this will continue until the debt of sin is paid. You with me? You see, he was forgiven the first time. He was pardoned. He was freed. But then he got tied back up because he did not fulfill the expectations of one that was forgiven. And so now he's tied to losing his joy and peace. He's tied to misery and hurt until the debt, that second debt, is paid for. How? By again approaching God. Recognizing our sins, humbly seeking forgiveness. Sometimes that's us in this very room. We need to go before God and give our sins to him and recognize him, repent him, and turn from them so that we can receive his joy again, receive his peace. We're familiar with 1 John 1:9. It says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the one we're indebted to, he's quick to forgive. He's not going to grab you by the throat and say, You with me? The one we're indebted to says, I want you to confess them, and he's quick to forgive them. He's not going to tie you to something. He doesn't expect you to be good on your own, but he does expect you to approach his throne in prayer, confessing your sins and turning them over and turning away from the sinfulness. And as we grow in Christ and appreciate his forgiveness, the more we will reflect him. The more we grow in him and reflect him, and that's the picture of being obedient to his call. And listen to his ultimate call here in Ephesians 4:32. Speak unto a church and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, his call to us is to do as he did to us. You with me? He wants to transform you to his character. Now, every day you're fighting with your flesh to please yourself. When God wants to change your heart, to walk with Him and let Him bring pleasure and joy to your heart. His call to us is do as He did. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You with me? While we still were violators, while we were still adding to our debt against God, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ sent a payment for your debt. You with me? That should give you so much encouragement if you're a son of God, a child of God. If you never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that should concern you. Because the payment is offered, but you're not accepted. There's got to be a time. Scripture says, Jesus tells the Nicodemus, you must be born again. There must be a birth, a time of birth into the family of God where you call upon the name of Jesus, understanding what He's done for you. And remember, He's quick to forgive, and He'll adopt you into His family. And you can experience His love as His son and daughters. And so as we close today, I have a couple questions. Are you a child of God? Sincerely, are you a child of God? Don't risk it. Have you had that time that you called upon the name of Jesus for salvation and turned your sinfulness over to Him? And if you're a child of God, here's a question for you. Are you reflecting your Heavenly Father? Is the way you treat one another reflecting of Him? As He tells us to love one another and to forgive one another. Maybe there's someone in this very room that you just can't be Christ-like. Because you know that happens in churches sometimes. Because Satan's good. And we get mad at someone in here, but we don't want nobody to know. But our heart knows. You know where we start? We start on our knees before God. And we turn it over to Him and let Him transform our hearts. And reconcile relationships that other people don't even know was broken. Why? Because I want my heart to be the heart of God. Do you? I'm kind of jealous of the title that David got in Scripture. Man after God's own heart. But David committed some horrible, nasty, atrocious sins. Yeah, and then he repented and he cried out, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Let me ask you, if you're a child of God, will you cry out that? Everything. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your salvation. Let me get rid of this trash that I carry around. Let me get rid of bitterness and frustration and anger. Let me quit focusing on myself and my own emotions. Let me quit operating according to my flesh and my pride and my desires. But let me operate according to your character and your love and your forgiveness that I can forgive others as you have forgiven me. And man, would that change the attitude of each one of us? Would that change the attitude of a whole church? Would that change the attitude of a city? Would that brighten the light that we're supposed to shine for Him in Humiston, Iowa? We could be so much more effective when we have the heart of God. Would you stand with me? As we have a short time invitation, I'm going to challenge you. What will you do today? First off, have you ever been saved? And Romans chapter 10 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what you deserve. Saved from your sins. Saved from eternal damnation. Saved from a separation from God. And He's already made the payment and He offers it to you, but He says the only way you accept by humbling yourself to call out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be born again. If there's anyone in this room that never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can be saved. Simple. He's done the work. You place faith in Him. Remember, someone in here really needs to humble himself before the Lord. As far as forgiveness and relationships that God has given to us. And that first you humble yourself before God, and God, soften my heart. Restore unto me joy of your salvation. Not restore your salvation, because once He gives it to you, it's permanent. But the joy is what I need back. I'm going to have a time of invitation. How's God touched your heart? I'll be here if you'd like to pray with me, if you want to pray alone, if you want salvation, we go in private. But you act as God has worked on your heart. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you put your hand on the person in this room. Lord, that we would act according to your leading. If there's someone here that's never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, this can be the day of salvation, that we as a church would celebrate with them. Lord, is there someone in here that's hiding bitterness or hurt in their heart? This could be the day also to turn it over to you, that they can receive your joy again for letting your character shine through them. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this time. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you step out of where you're at? Maybe you need to come to just have a humble time of prayer before the Lord. Will you step out of where you're at? Maybe you're wondering, have I ever placed my faith in Jesus Christ? Have I ever called on Jesus for salvation? Has my sins been washed away? Well, there's one book I know that will answer that question for you. It'll just show you in God's Word how you can be saved. But you have to take that step with a desire to let God work. Will you do it? Maybe where you're at, you can spend some time in prayer. Maybe you want to humble yourself at the altar. You step out of your comfort zone and come do that. I'd love to pray with you if you'd like to do that. Minutes, how will you respond? How's your walk with Christ right now?